Guys, hello and welcome to the 14th Planet Destiny podcast. It's been kind of a slow week. Nothing's really happened except for Bungie releasing some pretty cool stuff on Twitch. Gotta say, I'm excited about it. Let's kind of go around the round table. Well, first off, I want to introduce some people that we have here. We have a new kind of a new Planet Destiny member who's going to be showing his face a little bit here. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Diachronic, and I'm going to be joining us here on this podcast today. Hopefully some future stuffs, probably some new things in the future. I don't know if I can speak of anything. But yeah, I'm Diachronic. I have my own channel that I also post Destiny, and I'm super duper excited for this new DLC, as well as being part of Planet Destiny. So shout out to them in their own channel. So yeah.
Well, hello and thank you, Diachronic, for actually coming in and joining us on this podcast. I'm also joined by Briar Rabbit, Tefty, and Pope Bear today. We got some pretty cool stuff to talk about this week. So I've already made the video just saying all my opinions about everything that I saw on the Twitch broadcast. Let's go around the table. Briar, let's start with you. What did you like the most about what you saw?
The thing that struck me the most was that I'll be able to upgrade my old pre-Dark Below weapons to 365 attack ratings. That has me very excited. Mm-hmm. Getting stuff like the Devil You Know back in action. The Shadow one that he actually showed, the auto rifle?
Shadow Price,
thank you. You know, these older weapons that I've hung on to just because, you know, there's so many memories attached to them. Being able to bring them back into raids, being able to bring them back into high-level activities is going to be a lot of fun. It got me really psyched.
I'm really happy about seeing my Devil You Know will now once again be very well-known to people in the Crucible. My favorite hand cannon. Tefty, let's go up with you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Real quick, I want to say I have a zombie apocalypse that I'm really excited about upgrading. I've been holding on to that baby. It's got crowd control on it. Oh, he's so great. I was really shocked at seeing that we're going to be able to reforge House of Wolves, Vanguard, and Crucible weapons. And that looks amazing. Being able to get drops and be like, oh man, it's got Mulligan. No problem. Go reforge that baby, you know?
Yep.
So that's amazing. That's a huge bomb dropped right there.
Yeah, I was wondering what that symbol was. It's a little symbol of two blacksmith hammers. And if it has that symbol on it, then you can go reforge it at the gunsmith, who also has telemetries, things
amazing.
Like that. It's so cool.
It's like Christmas.
Funny thing you'd say that, because I kind of went back and forth between these things. And honestly, my favorite part about the new DLC is the new skins for all the weapons. The change from the first DLC to the original game wasn't that much. The vendors got new weapons, but it all looked like the exact same skin as everything else. But the new skinning for like all of like the new weapons, the Vindicator, they're getting new shapes. One of them looks like a BR. Another one has like the Plan C sight. One of them looks fat, honestly. It looks like it has his little bubbles and stuff. Honestly, my favorite part is that these new looks. My problem with the previous DLC was that everything looked the same, and that it just made it so it didn't seem like it had as much longevity, and it made you lose interest a lot faster. The fact that things have a new look to them makes them actually more enjoyable, and I honestly was talking to you guys earlier about the boysenberry thing. I kind of am a guy that just looks at it like, oh, it's shiny, it's cool, it's new, and... Yeah, when I saw the Ruined Wings in the first DLC, I was like, I want it! I want that one! And ever since, I've had it, and I'm glad it's like one of the best in the game, because otherwise I'd be just carrying around a weak exotic. But yeah, I really like the new look for everything. Like a lot of ODST-looking helmets, one really badass-looking LMG that looks fat. I don't know if you notice that blue one, it looks fat.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know which one that actually is. That was shown, it might be an exotic. Like we don't know as far as exotic weapons that have been spoiled. I mean, what have we seen? We've seen the Lord of Wolves. I'm pretty sure that's what that picture was. We got the Ram. Did you guys see that helmet?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god!
Absolutely.
It speaks to me so and tells cool. me to kill.
I know.
Lucifer calls upon me.
I can only imagine what that helmet does.
If I remember right from the Datamine stuff, it's supposed to blind anyone around you when you activate your Fireborn ability, or was it Radiance? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Radiance.
It is Radiance, so, you know, Radiance just got a little more powerful. But awesome. for all we know, that Datamine stuff could be months old, and they could have, it could have something even cooler now.
Yeah. Too bad it's not for a Titan, because, yeah. I mean, this would be awful. I would hate this, but if it gave Titan, like, infinite shoulder charge or something, or you can, like, shoulder charge into two people at the same time, like, that would, I would hate it, but also be like, wow, that helmet looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Spunky.
Hey, Spunky.
Hey, everyone in the podcast. Spunkles. How's my cat? Pope, of what you saw today in the stream, what was your favorite thing?
Well, I think my favorite thing was already mentioned by Briar as far as the ability to upgrade your legendary items, and not only guns, but also armor, and just simplifying that whole upgrade tree. And it was all very exciting to me. But something that hasn't been mentioned that is still on the top of my list is materials and the materials exchange. I think that when you look at how, you know, some of us who play the game a lot, not everybody plays as much as you guys and I, but, you know, I've got 1,000 Ascendant Shards sitting in my vault. It'd be sure nice to be able to use them to do something. And it's nice that they're just not moving away from that. They're simplifying the monetary system, the exchange system, but they're not, you know, they're not like wiping you clean of them, right? The exchange rate is very generous. I love the fact that it was a 1-to-1, and that I'm going to be able to do something with it. And it's not, you don't lose materials when you move them around. It was a very direct 1-to-1 change, and you could, whatever you needed at the time, you could shift them around on whatever options they had, which makes me super excited for the, you know, motes of light are not going to be a problem for me anymore. Between Ascendant Energy and Ascendant Shards, I have nearly 2,000 materials that I can use now. So for me, the materials exchange was amazing, being able to shift things around and get the materials I wanted and not to lose materials in that exchange. Like, for example, Eris, when you wanted a heavy weapon ammo, you had to contribute a lot of the Black Wax Idols to get one.
Oh, yeah. It was really rough.
You got robbed every time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was a vandal. But so I think that they were very generous with the exchange on that. And the fact that we are going to be able to do that with the speaker is going to be really exciting for me.
Definitely. Yeah. What's really cool is, like, we're actually getting to interact with these NPCs a lot more as well, just from what we saw. Like, I've been kind of collecting some, like, feedback stuff for my trip to Bungie tomorrow. Just been listening to what my friends have been saying to see if, like, I could, you know, tell Bungie anything. And one of the key things was, we don't really interact with the NPCs at all. Like, the most interact one is the bounty vendor, just because we have to see him every day. And the rest of it, you know, the gunsmith maybe once when he's selling fusion rifles, Eris not anymore because, you know, story's done. You know, and now, like, all the vendors that I've seen, you're going to be interacting with them. Gunsmith reforging, selling telemetries, speaker, you got the exchange stuff, plus all of his really cool things there. So, like, the world of Destiny is actually kind of opening up as well with some of these changes as that we're seeing.
It's getting richer.
Yeah,
it really is. They're adding, by just doing something that, like, the making Vault of Glass and making all legendary items viable now, it makes this actually be able to have that unique character that, you know, they were promising since the beginning of the game. I think we're actually going to achieve that now, where you're going to be running into a guy that, like, you're going to be like, oh, man, that's a really cool set of armor you got on, and it really tells a story of what they do, what they like to do, and what they want their character to look like. So I really value the direction that they're taking the game, and it really feels like they've been listening to our feedback and making changes to the game that, you know, accordingly.
Definitely, definitely.
It would be great bringing some of those old weapons into the Crucible. People will be seeing these names for the first time. You know, like, a lot of people came to this game at Christmas, were never there for pre-Dark Below Destiny. Absolutely. So they've never heard of these some of these guns. That's going to be
heard
fun.
Of that Vex Mytho class.
That was one of the biggest bombshells.
Wait until the Vanquisher makes its return.
Right. Vanquisher, Grim Citizen. Like I said, my zombie apocalypse.
Absolutely. It's going
to be killing.
For what they did to the Thorn. out, you know, with the just latest buff to, you know, the visual effect that when you get, if you've played PvP lately, it's Hate basically it. The Thorn Hate show.
It. Yeah.
Everybody's running Thorn. And so, you know, the, if you're colorblind like I am, it just so happens that when you turned on the colorblind settings, the way that Thorn interacts with the screen for me, it makes it super, super dark. So I can't have the colorblind settings on because it actually further blinds me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Bungie is very aware that they kind of messed up with that Thorn change. Honestly, I don't think that was needed. Not to stray too far from the topic of the awesome House of Wolves stuff, but yeah, the change to Thorns, like, hey, let's take a really strong weapon. Okay, now it blinds people if they're colorblind.
Well, and I think that, like everything that we've been talking about, you know, they're listening to us, and it's made it very obvious with the way that the changes they've made to the with the upcoming House of Wolves.
Yeah, like all the changes that we saw today, I'm pretty sure I can go back and find the initial Reddit threads or the posts on our forums or posts on our YouTube comments of going, hey, I wish we could reforge our guns at the gunsmith. Hey, I wish he would sell telemetries. Hey, we should have, you know, better exchange rates for materials. And then they've done all of that.
I never thought they would let us upgrade our weapons to 365,
no,
though.
No,
yeah. I never thought it, especially
I thought it was a pipe dream.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's all we have to upgrade now, right? Like, we're only going to have to get that one thorough thing to actually upgrade it.
And it's high on the list.
Yeah, then everyone's going to upgrade their Fatebringer. Done. Don't need the system anymore until Comet. Thank you.
Everybody's racing to get everything completely upgraded within, like, day one or two. All right, now I'm ready for Comet. You know?
Yeah.
Well, if anything has taught me something about pacing myself, I have a really hard time pacing myself. I just go just ape on it and just will play 24 hours a day until I get everything that I want, right? I'm sort of transitioning into this more conscientious person where I go, okay, look, I'm going to be in this for the long haul. I really enjoy this game, and I really want to pace myself so that I enjoy these weekly content releases, these sort of... It seems like they're doing a really good job of creating public events that will keep me entertained throughout the week, that I don't have to grind as much. And that's I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing the same thing, Pope Bear. That's why it took me two whole days to watch Daredevil on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I'm slowing it down a bit.
Yeah, I could see that, Brian. You and I are cut from the same cloth. I know. That's
dude, sure. House of Cards, season whatever.
Oh,
one
man.
Day
I watched the what's the zombie one, Walking Dead. I watched all the seasons in like three nights. Just
are we really gonna go start talking about his cat now? Where are we right now, guys?
No. Can you hear him purring? He's in my lap.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Spunkles is cute. So I mean,
I don't know. I'm excited about your cat.
Anyway, moving on to the awesome the stuff that isn't my cat. More like the stuff that's in the new tower. What'd you guys think of the new social space?
It's
like
perfect.
Yeah.
Nailed it. I had to.
You had to.
It's really pretty, too. You know, they talk about how it's kind of run down and ramshackle because it's kind of thrown together. But, like, the backdrop of, like, that kind of gassy cloud in outer space is just beautiful looking out on. But then you get to walk around, and all these people, all these characters seem so different than what we're used to in the world of Destiny. It just adds, like, visual interest to, like, kind of every part of it. Really cool stuff.
I wish you could jump out there and start floating around and be like, oh, look at this entire space.
You can jump off the tower, too, and start
falling down. I wanted the free fall gravity zero thing.
I wonder if you jump off there, like you just kind of start floating out as your dead body just starts.
You hit like a wall that's just like gravity here, gravity not here.
Yeah, exactly. How does that space station have gravity when it's like open space?
Magic.
The Traveler did it. Traveler
magic.
Oh, that thing, right.
Traveler knows.
I think that was like Bungie's original thing. Like, so how come the gravity's the same on all the planets? And Traveler did it.
Blame him.
It's amazing.
So, Like, we saw some pretty cool stuff in that tower. It does indeed look fantastic. It looks purdy.
Looks amazing. I'm excited about
it. There's going to be some, like, there's going to be the normal stuff there. Apparently, Xur will be going there sometime. So they also confirmed that, yes, if you don't have the expansion, you'll be able to actually visit this new social space because Xur will happen to go there, and they don't want to exit, or they don't want to close you off that. So I guess they kind of learned their lesson there.
That's good salesmanship, too, because people who haven't bought the DLC will see this new area, see these new vendors.
I want this stuff.
It wouldn't be cool.
It's so shiny.
And you're going to, people are going to want that stuff, man. It looks beautiful. And the new shaders and things that you can apply, the new shader skins and stuff, that's going to be, I really like the idea that you could, they went over it really quickly, but the fallen houses have different color shaders for each house.
There's at least five being sold from that vendor. The Queen's Emissary, I think, has another four. There's a ton of them just for sale right there, and who knows what's going to be kind of hidden behind the drops.
Personally, the thing that would probably make me buy the DLC the most is that awesome looking ship.
Yeah, that thing's sexy.
And then
sex in space.
Yeah,
are you talking about the Belize blue ship?
Belize blue ship. The thing it looks amazing. I wish it had streamers on it like the one in the tower did.
Oh, that's extra DLC.
The microtransaction confirmed.
Yeah, streamers. $1.99
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll pay it. I don't care. I want streamers.
What do you guys think about like the story being presented by Petra? You know, were you guys happy with that with Eris
in
the Dark Below? Like, are you looking forward to it?
I love the way the story was presented in the Dark Below, at least mainly because it was just a change from the way the story wasn't presented in the original Destiny. So if they're kind of learning from what they did in Dark Below and just kind of expanding upon that, yeah, sure, I'd love to see more of Petra. I don't even know who she is right now, but she was juggling a knife. I remember what she originally looked like. She originally was not missing an eye. She was not battle scarred and everything. So I'm interested to hear what her story was, how in the time from original Queen's Wrath to now she got mugged or something. I don't know.
No, I envision her like being, you know, right next to the queen and just battling it out as those fallen, you know, betrayed her, and then that maybe that's how she loses in her eye. I'm just, you know, guessing here, but
from a blue shank.
Yeah, I believe that she goes toe to toe with the fallen, you know, and cuts off some of their arms, and you know, a knife gets her in the eye.
It was probably a blue shank.
Yeah. This,
hashtag blame blue shank.
You know, I have mixed feelings on it, on the story presentation. Like, I really liked Eris. But at the same time, having replayed it now on the PS4, it feels a little disjointed going from the main story and then going through Eris. It just, like, it's definitely a step in the right direction. But at the same time, I don't know if I want that same thing again. Maybe it's because it missed cutscenes, you know? Maybe I feel like now Eris is done. I don't have any more talk with her. I don't know. It's weird. Like, it feels like a DLC as opposed to a continuation of the story. And it is a DLC, so maybe it's supposed to be just that.
Well,
but at the same time, I have mixed feelings thinking, okay, if I get another Eris mission story progression, is that going to feel as satisfying with Petra?
Okay.
You know?
That's fair.
I was blown away at first with Eris, how they kind of added her to some of the strikes and missions, like her voiceover. But now I hardly even notice it. You know, I've run through those so many times. I wonder if they'll do the same thing with Petra, where they'll actually change some of the strikes to include her voiceover as opposed to Dinklage's.
Well, I think any time they have an opportunity to replace a real voice actor with Dink, you know, over Dinklage, they're going to do that. So, but Tefty, let me ask you about the story like arc that you're talking about.
Sure.
Remember early on how they wanted it to feel like it was episodic. So they wanted to feel like you were, you know, experiencing the story as it was unfolding, right? So, what if like take that idea and break it out? So like you've got the story of these main characters in like a movie, right? You this is the very beginning of the movie, and you're sort of introducing the cast of characters before they get into the main like story where they all interact. So you have you feel a you know compassion about them or anger towards them or some emotion. What if what if this these series of it ways that we're interacting with these characters is just to do that. Get us to understand who Eris Morn is. Get us to understand who Petra is. And then we get introduced to these different characters. And at some point, we're going to be introduced to the main story where they will interact with each other for the final whatever. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that that's the direction they're going with these episodes of these different characters, and then somehow they're all going to interact.
I mean, that would be great, because, again, my main complaint about the story feel of The Dark Below is that I consumed it in the first week, and then I forgot about it. And every time I raid and kill Crota, I don't really think of Eris Morn. I mean, even though she's directly connected to it. Maybe because, like I said, there's no cutscenes, and there's no thought of, like, you know, go kill Crota. And then I come back and she's like, oh, you've killed Crota, which is awesome. But I forget about that after a week or so.
It sounded a little bit true. Like
Japanese. Oh, you killed a Crota.
Yeah, maybe I did. I did spend a little Japanese there
too. Killed Crota, you did.
You killed a Crota. But anyways, with House of Wolves, I don't know if I'd be... I'm excited about it, and I want an amazing feast, you know? And not that it's not going to be an amazing feast. I want the story to be like, man, I am full. So happy to be full of story right now.
Let's do it again.
Well, there's no way it can like last till through summer, right? Like, there's no way we're going to still be unraveling this story in, like, even 2 months.
Well,
like, there's only so much they can do.
There's a way to do that, though. Like, there's a way to be like, you look back and be like, wow, that story, man, that's something. And then there's a way to look back and be like, oh, yeah, that had a nice little arc to it. You know, yeah. I want the epic to be like, wow. And again, it might be too much to ask for on a DLC, because this is technically a DLC, even though we're looking at it as like, oh, man, another Destiny expansion that's going to blow our minds, you know? And I want it to blow our minds, and I want the story to make me feel really excited and full again, but I don't know if they can do that. With Petra.
You said the key word there, Tefty. You said expansion. And we got to remember this is a DLC and not an... I don't see it as a full-blown expansion to the game. I think we're going to see that in comment, like Briar was saying.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's, in addition to Petra, there's also two other vendors that they noted about. We have the House of Judgment, which is a fallen... we're going to be able to actually interact with a fallen guy who's still loyal to the queen, Varix the Loyal. He's pretty battle tested. He's got robot arms and everything, but like he's going to be the Prison of Elders vendor, and he's going to have like rotating stock as well through there. I'm definitely interested to see how he's going to play into the story. If he's just going to be kind of a vendor that sits there, or if he's going to be like an actual integral part of the story.
Mm-hmm. It's a little confusing, right? Because it looks like Petra and he are both kind of interwoven inside Prison of Elders. It's a little hard to tell until we actually see that content, like what's going on there. You know, he has clearly got a bunch of Prison of Elders specific stuff. It even says on his little page, Prison of Elder rewards.
Yeah, he is the guy to go to for Prison of Elders. I think Petra is just for the Queen's Queen's Wrath reputation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But to get the rewards for the Queen's Wrath, like the armor and the guns, you need to play Prison of Elders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But that might have been because they had to... It does.
Yeah. Yeah, if like, it is what I think it is. That might
have been because they had to figure out a way to... Something to put in the Prison of Elders. Because my guess is that they originally were going to do a raid... This DLC, they had a bunch of raid gear ready to go, and when they had to push back the raid, then they had to figure out, well, what's going to be the new raid gear, and that's what the Queen's Wrath stuff is coming.
So what do you guys think the Prison of Elders is? I have my own idea of what it is. I was wondering what you guys think it is. There's not a lot of information being released about it, I personally think it's going to be some type of wave defense, like in an arena. What do you guys think?
We kind of discussed this a little bit on the last podcast, but pretty much, like, what I think it's going to be is it's not going to be the same every week. I know that. So there's going to be some sort of, not necessarily wave type scenario going in, but there's going to be different encounters maybe every week, and they might change it up sometimes. I'm hoping it's not just a simple, hey, here's a horde mode, have fun. No, I really hope it's not that. I think there's going to be like a lot of different smaller fights in there instead of just a horde mode.
Yeah, my guess is it's going to be a horde mode, but it's going to be randomized somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Blue Shanks, Yellow Shanks, Purple Shanks, Boysenberry Shanks, Elite Shanks.
It's going to be a retirement home for the Fallen, actually.
Ooh. Bad Fallen. It's going to be like that like that area in Futurama where they fly in. All the old Fallen are just kind of plugged into a Matrix-like
Archon
machine.
Priest has its own
retired Archons watching TV.
Yeah,
they're just really bummed out, and they're like, don't mess with me, and then we kill them, which is sad, but you know we need our rewards. So.
Yeah, plug in, get a bunch of rewards. Grab a little pyramid before you leave.
I think one thing we might have like overlooked is in a lot of the screenshots that we saw today, aside from all the kick-ass new like armor and some of the weapons, in one of the screenshots there was a guy that was in a three-man activity. He was holding a giant bazooka, but he also had a bazooka on his back. So
there was actually two of them.
So there were two. There's a hunter, two people. Hunter and then a titan holding him, but the titan, the one in the foreground, had his heavy weapon already equipped. So maybe in the Prisoner of Elders we might see something like that. I know the file type or the file name of that image was for I think one of the story missions. But if, like, Dark Below or if Dark Below is any indication, we might see something similar like that where we get introduced to this one mechanic in one of the story missions, and then it's going to show up again later on.
Well, it would make sense that there's going to be a relic of some sort.
Yeah,
First game, or the vanilla Destiny and then Dark Below have shown us Bungie likes to introduce these relics, so... A bazooka from the Fallen? That sounds good.
Yeah, best relic ever.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I'll put that in my back pocket.
Cannon.
No, we'll use it later.
Yeah.
Should rip awesome. A cannon off a Devil Walker or something. Use that.
Exactly. Oh my god, that'd be great.
I want it to shoot Shanks. That's all I'm saying.
Oh god.
So for the Dark Below, they introduced like the sword bearers that were kind of just roaming around on the earth and the moon. You think we'll get some of these bazookas hanging out?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Maybe there's going to be attached to the Shanks. I don't know why I keep going back to it, but there's every like one of those weapon upgrades, the proficiencies, the ones that say you do more Shank damage. There's got to be Shanks everywhere, I'm assuming. There's got to be a reason why we want to kill so many Shanks.
It's the Shankopolis.
Yeah. House of Wolves.
Shankpocalypse?
House of Wolves.
It's a Shankening.
House of Shanks.
I got to admit also, when I saw that too, when I was watching the live stream, and then I saw that there was a Shank-specific perk, I was like, why?
Because
I mean, these things, they go down like flies. Why do you need a Shank perk? You know?
Every time I run a Nightfall, it's a Shank that takes me down.
Briar, you and I need to have a talk about your strategy in these Nightfalls. Trials of Osiris, the much-fabled Trials of Osiris, we're actually finally starting to see some stuff about that. The reveal for that is going to be next week. They're going to be doing a stream with Triple Rec, so that'll be cool. We're going to see some pretty cool stuff. Like, so from this vendor, he's the disciple of Osiris. His name's Brother Vance. An interesting name. Brother Vance. So, like, we can discern a few things just from his inventory. First off, the things that Deej actually went over, the Boon of Osiris, Mercy of Osiris, and Favor of Osiris, these are little perks that you can buy that will, like, grant you, or quote-unquote, the Boon of Osiris. You've been granted a boon. Winning your first trials match will count as two wins. Mercy of Osiris. You've been granted mercy. Your first loss in the trials will be forgiven. Favor of Osiris. You know, you've been granted favor and you start the trials with a win already. And all three of these will cost passage coins. And something, like, we don't exactly know what passage coins even are yet, but... it's probably the currency to actually get into the Trials of Osiris. How we actually get those, I think, if we're going off like the Datamine Fate of All Fools stuff, it's going to be along the lines of you have to win some Crucible matches or something like that to maybe get them. The most revealing thing was at the very top, there is a category called Trials Rewards, and Deej accidentally moused over it for like half a frame. And effectively what it said was buying this, and the currency for this one thing was actually wins in the Trials of Osiris. So you buy this and it grants you access to stone tier drops. Now, what a stone tier drop actually is, we don't know, and we don't know what any of the higher tiers are called. But this kind of leads me to believe that maybe the gear won't be purchased from Trials of Osiris. Maybe it'll just be a drop, or maybe just doing buying that thing will actually increase your rewards. What do you guys think of all the stuff that we've actually seen about Trials of Osiris, what little we've actually seen?
There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, mm-hmm. It looks like the Trials of Osiris is going to be a multi-step process. Like, you're going to have to play some normal mm-hmm. Crucible just to get into it. Then once you get in, you're probably going to want more than one coin to start with, right? You're going to want a coin to, you know, get in. And then you might want a couple of coins or three coins to get a Boon of Osiris or a Mercy of Osiris. Or I wonder if you can get all three and if they stack. So you can kind of start, you know, if you spend 9 of these coins, you can start kind of ahead of the game. Oof. But and then once you do that, then you actually have to win in the Trials of Osiris to get these rewards. And then once you get the rewards, then you're actually eligible to get the good stuff.
Could be it.
That's a long road to travel.
And also, do we know exactly what... obviously, we don't know exactly what it is, but do we have an idea of what the Trials of Osiris is when you're actually in it? Is it like a regular PvP match, or is it another PvE environment? Like, I don't know.
Again, the only things that we know is what we data mined. So all of it is subject to change as the information is kind of old. But apparently, it's a 3v3. It's a 3v3 skirmish type match.
Okay.
Again,
so,
it could change.
So what if, like, I mean, and people have been talking about this in the comments of the videos that we've posted. Deej moused over one of the redeeming things, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a bronze tier?
Stone tier.
It was a stone tier. So let's say a stone, and then, you know, maybe there's a higher tier than that, and then a higher tier than that.
Yeah, there's three and, higher tiers, at least. That's what it looks like.
The stone tier was for how many wins?
2.
So what if once you've granted entrance into the Trials of Osiris, you could lose, you could get kicked out?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we had confirmed, where if you lose too many times in a row, you're out.
Right, so you have that token to gather wins, right?
Yeah.
And if you can get up enough wins, you could buy the higher cool stuff.
Yeah.
So I think you're looking at, once you're in, you want to stay in as long as you can. And because the more wins you get, the you could redeem it for better loot.
Right, and it's more like possibilities skee ball. Getting loot.
What's that?
Yes, exactly like skee ball.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So you're winning, and stay in there because you're gonna be able to redeem these wins at him.
At your friendly fallen judgment leader.
Mm-hmm. Your friendly neighborhood fallen leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like,
and I wonder if you could. I mean, if that's the case, right? And I wonder if you could save your wins from one weekend to another, or you have to redeem them that weekend. That'd be interesting.
Well, I know you can save Iron Banner. You can save those Iron Banner medallions to produce Iron Banners. I know that's a popular strategy, is to go lose 5 Iron Banner matches, and then you have like a little quick pick-me-up right when you start Iron Banner again.
I now see why they're making it a weekend event, because... The first thing that I think of when I'm hearing these mechanics is, how separated is the population going to become in PvP? Because I know some people are not going to feel motivated just for the Trials of Osiris. Like, there's obviously some people who only want Prison Elders, and then some people might not be interested in doing the Trials of Osiris hoops, in quotation marks, hoops to jump through. So I understand why they're doing it on the weekend now, but it does make me a little scared that, like, if I go on at, say, 4 in the morning... Am I going to have a tough time finding a match?
That is true, because, yeah.
Especially if it's a week that the Iron Banner is running as mm-hmm. well.
Exactly. Further separating the population.
Yeah.
I mean,
pick a side.
For the people listening who may not have caught what Tefty had said part of there, the Trials of Osiris is confirmed to be on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And then it'll be on Tuesday until the reset. So, you know, we're not really counting Tuesday because it'll only be active for like 2 or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. But still, yeah, so it's only going to be a weekend thing, but it is going to be every single week. So, interesting.
Yeah. And also, are there rewards locked out on a weekly timer also for Trials of Osiris?
That we don't know.
Because that would further separate the population, because if you got your rewards, well, I'm saving my coins for another time. Hopefully not, because that's the only fear I hear, or fear thinking about this process. But, I don't know. I'm excited about it.
I really want to win, like, 90 matches in a row.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I know I'm going to win all my matches. I already got my team set up. Like, we're just going to all get our invitations. We're gonna go in there, and we're just going to keep winning matches. And we're good.
Yeah,
we're
no
good.
Problem. We're good. No big deal.
It's going to steamroll.
Yeah, just steamroll, everyone. No,
that sounds like a solid plan.
I am actually, it's a good plan. I actually am interested to see, because, I mean, you're going to want to go in there with, like, 3 people. So you're going to want to go in there with a team. Because you're going to want to do well. It's based on wins, so you want to go in there. So, like, for me, it's going to be interesting because we're always going to be going up against a team, hopefully.
Well, Patrick, you met Oa the other night, but Oa's he's a longtime, like, playtester. He's been helping with different Bungie stuff. Uh-huh. So he has been interested in parting up with you and I to jump into Trials when it first comes out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have plans, but
I mean,
we should do that.
I got a guy that lives in Germany who's wanting to be on my team. He's Railroad Music Boy. He's been wanting to, like, go up and team up there. He's a really good player. And then I got, like, a bunch of other people from real life that are going. So, yeah, I'm going to be, like, a free agent for the most part. So, sure. If you guys need me, yeah, I'll hop in. But second we start...
$20 PayPal?
Yeah. $20 PayPal, we'll carry through Trials.
We'll carry.
Well, I don't know. Join Phase Patrick, Red. You got a chance to see that some of the PvP guys.
Yeah, all the PvP guys are, like, we're all keeping up with each other. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah.
There will be no carry.
We have a good crew. Yeah.
Except that one guy, he sucked.
Yeah.
Sorry! You guys are talking about PvP, and I'll be like, well, I thought the social place is pretty, so I just stared at it for a couple hours.
So Dichronic, are you on Xbox or PS4?
Currently I'm on Xbox One my platform. Okay. Everybody's always like, hey, you should play with me on PS4. I'm like, I don't have it.
Well... maybe you can hook up with Tefty and Tefty and Wally, or Papercut and Wally, as they are two very good PvPers.
Ouch.
And they will be able to probably maybe carry you for a little bit.
I weigh 1,000 pounds. Are you good?
I think they'll be good. You know, I know Wally lifts. Every day before we do the podcast, he's like, just got back from the gym, guys. Yeah, that's what he actually sounds like before he starts talking like Wally.
He just has a different voice.
Completely different voice.
Gets out of gym mode.
He's out of gym mode.
So do you guys like the fact that it's going to be like a weekend-only event, or would you rather see it like Iron Banner, that it lasts an entire week? I'm pretty excited that it's only a weekend-long thing, because I'm thinking that means less grinding. The Iron Banner comes around, and I pretty much just play Control for a week.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be super hyper-competitive. And I'm really excited, honestly, to see the kind of streams that come out of this, because if it's 3v3, there's a high likelihood that we're going to be seeing something super competitive where, you know, deaths really matter. Like, I mean, you're not just straight Slayer, but something else where we are wanting to work together as a team. And if you think about it from there, how interesting that's going to be to watch on stream. I think my prediction is coming out of this, you're going to see some really high-end players getting a lot of views watching this kind of competitive game mode every weekend.
Oh, you know I'm going to be Q-sniping people on streams.
Mm-hmm. I still don't know what Q-snipe is, but I am so excited.
Oh, it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there potential of perhaps J-sniping? I find that easier to hit because my pinky kind of hurts every time I go for Q, or my middle finger, or my ring finger. So, anyways, I'll run the details with you later.
ASD and F sniping are all, you know, that's beginner style stuff. You got to get the Q sniping in there to get expert mode.
What about tilde?
No, we don't speak of tilde.
Oh, forbidden.
I think we've covered Trials of Osiris fairly well here, guys. I know next week we'll be able to cover a lot more because they'll actually be on the 29th. They will be doing the stream with Triple Rec and then some other person who I don't know yet. They're going to be getting some people in there, and they're going to be showing off Trials of Osiris. I am excited. So Trials of Osiris definitely sounds fun. Moving on, though, when they actually left the Reef social area because one of the questions was, hey, is the tower going to be relevant? Yeah, it's definitely going to be relevant. We have so many things to do in the tower. First of all, before we really get into the tower itself, the biggest thing that they showed off was the upgrade paths and how that's going to work. So, to put it lightly, if you want to upgrade your Fatebringer or whatever your favorite legendary weapon or armor is, it'll work for any legendary item or that can be generally upgraded. You need the glimmer, you need 20 materials from like spirit bloom or something, and then you need something called etheric light, which will drop from Prison of Elders, Trials of Osiris, Nightfall Strikes, Iron Banner, so in-game activities. You need one of those, and there's going to be something called Ascend on that item, and you hit that. When you have all that stuff in your inventory, then boom, it is upgraded to 365. Now, there are some interesting things to take note about. Did you guys, like, check if you actually had to fully upgrade it to do it?
He looked like he tried to do it on the Galahorn, and he was going to do it, but he didn't have enough
weapon parts.
Didn't have enough weapon parts.
I think you're gonna
only
have to.
It only had one bubble filled out when he tried to do it.
Yeah, I think you're gonna have to, because I think they're gonna want to honor the amount of time that people have put in prior with the old exotics. You know, you're gonna have to have ranked up. If you get a Galahorn, you're probably gonna have to rank that sucker up before you can ascend it. But I think if we looked at the House of Wolves legendary stuff, where we saw in the Twitch stream that it didn't have attack values on it, the attack bubbles. It was a much shorter, smaller tree to upgrade. I mean, I'd be curious to see if the exotics have the similar type thing where you don't have to rank up attack values. We didn't see it during the Twitch stream, but one would argue that if they're doing away with the attack values in the legendary, you might see the same thing in the exotic.
I think they probably will end up getting rid of it on exotics as well, just to keep some sort of similarity. Also, if you know someone suddenly inspects me and it's like, oh, his Hawk Moon is fully upgraded with old school damage things on there. He got that, you know, early on.
So many bubbles.
Somebody's self-conscious.
I got more bubbles than you.
But do you think it's going to be a thing where, like, okay, you get it pre-House of Wolves, and then you have to unlock all that upgrade, those upgrade slots after House of Wolves, and then do the Ascend? Or do you think you'd be able to Ascend, like, let's say you don't have to spend the materials, but you have to unlock the upgrade bubbles?
What we do know is that ascending actually won't affect what you have leveled. So it leads me to believe that you won't have to actually level up the whole thing to ascend it. You just hit ascend, and then you have the ability to get to that 365 attack. So maybe it saves your progression from what we've seen.
Right.
The finer points of it, obviously, we're just going to have to wait to get our hands on it.
Yeah, because an interesting thing, they're moving away from staggered damage ratings, and it appears that so they're stepping away from all that and bringing it back to just pure damage. So your weapon is now, if it drops, I'm assuming it's going to be 365.
Yeah. Well, the Prison of Elders stuff that we saw was 365, but all the stuff in the tower was 331. So it looks like you're still going to have to do some sort of attack leveling on these weapons.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, because it's interesting how they're realizing that these damage and defense bubbles are kind of just air that we're shoving XP into. They're like, let's get rid of those airbags and give you meat, as in actual unlocks for upgrades.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of people just like meat, you know.
I don't want no mixed
veggies. I don't want any rabbit food on my broccoli. My weapons.
What do they call that? The Neanderthal diet or something?
Oh, paleo.
Paleo.
Paleo diet.
Neanderthal.
My diet. Neanderthal. At the end of it, they showed him upgrading the Vex Mythoclass. So it's confirmed that Mythoclass, you know, it's not frozen in time. As they said, it can be quote-unquote thawed.
That's clever wording that he did right there.
Yeah, he planned it all along. I know he did. Yeah, so
it couldn't have been that perfect.
You know what I'm excited about? My necrochasm.
Wow. Crickets. You need to leave right
I'm
now.
I'm joking, guys. That was a joke.
Crickets. I do hope that they address some of the exotics. I know on the developer open house, they said that they'll probably be taking a look at exotics again at some point in the future, and No Land Beyond and Necrochasm will be will be among those, and I certainly hope that in the future implies, you know, maybe before House of Wolves comes out. I don't know. That'd be fantastic. I'd like to do another review on Necrochasm after I get it, of course, but there needs to be some sort of change to it.
I don't think they would drop an exotic revamp on us before House of Wolves.
They did it before Dark Below.
They're doing all these reveals right now. I don't know if they would be like, oh, and we took 9 of your exotics and revamped them and made things different. Like, I don't know if they would do that with all these changes that are happening, because they're changing the system considerably right now.
Yeah,
like they're introducing a lot of mechanics here.
We can be positive that they will surprise us with something. They're not going to share.
We don't even know what all they're revealing yet. There's still, I think, one or two bubbles left on the Bungie calendar where it says, "Hey, we're revealing stuff, but we're not telling what it is yet."
Yeah.
There's unicorns in the reef.
If there's one thing that Bungie is really good at, is that they're going to give us little bits of information and get us worked up to the point where, you know, we're going to be excited right before this comes out, like crazy excited.
Yeah.
One of the other really cool things that, like, moving into the tower and how it's actually going to be relevant now, the speaker, he's pretty cool. Like, he's got, I know we talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, but I feel it needs some sort of mentioning again. You can exchange all your materials not all of them, but like ascendant energies, you can transfer into ascendant shards. Motes of light, you can get those for the cost of 2 ascendant shards. Glimmer, 250 glimmer for 1 ascendant shard, or radiant shard. And then you have the radiant energy conversions to radiant energy to radiant shard as well. And it's not going to hurt you as bad as Eris did.
This is incredible. I mean, people are going to play this game and be like, what was the problem with the glimmer and the... I don't know why you guys didn't like this stuff before. And we're going to be like, oh, my God.
You have no idea.
Young one, come sit down. Let me tell you of the days of old.
Motes of light are going to come in handy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So it's going to be really nice to be able to spend ascendant energies and shards to get motes of light for other content. You know, there's going to be a ton of different uses for those now.
Yeah.
Introducing like 4 new currencies, aren't they?
There's going to be three. I know there's going to be three.
One for the trials.
Yeah, there's one for Trials of Osiris, and there's two there's three that we know of for the Prison of Elders.
But the thing though is like there's one broad currency, and that's the Etheric Light, and the other currencies are more like
Vendor specific.
Iron Banner. Iron Banner type of currency type of thing where you know, you trade those in for stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like the other really cool thing is, you know, reforging weapons as well. So speaking of ways that the tower is going to become awesome, Gunsmith is relevant. Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right, you know?
Oh my goodness, the Gunsmith.
The Gunsmith is actually a Gunsmith now. So he sells telemetry, which is pretty cool. And then he's reforging weapons. We can reforge our weapons as long as they dropped during House of Wolves, or their House of Wolves weapons, and they have the reforge ready little icon on them. Yeah, you can go reforge them for, let's see, what is it? 1 mote of light to 5 weapon parts and 250 glimmer. So
you know what they didn't point out though, and I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but. So you say you have a Fatebringer, right?
Yeah.
And you can we know you can ascend a Fatebringer, but we're pretty sure that because Deitch kind of skated around this, and I didn't see it. Did you guys see a Reforged symbol on any other legendaries but the House of Wolves?
I didn't see it on anything else.
I didn't see it either.
I paid attention to it too.
Right.
I think he had the Fatebringer equipped and he went up to there and it was only the shotgun that he purchased from the Crucible vendor.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It wasn't even on the Wolf Slayer's claw.
So they're trying, I think it's smart, extremely smart to incentivize, you know, purchasing or, you know, being a part of House of Wolves if you haven't purchased it already. I think that's a strong incentive. I mean, being able to re-roll your weapons. I in my mind before the Twitch stream, I was sitting at work today thinking about what would I want to sitting there with my envision myself with my finger over the trigger, you know, would I want to re-roll the Fatebringer?
No.
You know?
No.
No.
God, no. It's the only hand cannon with Firefly. Right. So you don't get rid of that.
Right. Yeah. And Outlaw. I mean, it's not Mulligan or anything. It's Outlaw.
It's good.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, what would it be like to get, you know, some of the guns that we have now that are legendary and re-roll them for Firefly, right? But obviously, this isn't going to be an option. I mean, I don't think it's going to be an option. I think we're looking at only Iron Banner stuff being able to re-roll.
Yeah. Right now, what we can see is that, like, there are some also new perks on some of these weapons as well. Yeah, really cool new perks. One of them was, if you, like, getting a kill with this weapon will increase your sprint speed for a little while.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Was that on a shotgun?
And it was also paired with, if you get a melee kill with this weapon equipped, it'll refill. It has a chance to refill your magazine. So it's kind of good. Make sure your shotgun will always be ready. Just shotgun that guy down a little bit, then melee him in the face. Cool, magazine full. Yeah, and so there's going to be a lot of new perks that we're going to be seeing, too. So it's more stuff for me to, you know, calculate in my reviews, I guess, for these weapon reviews. More importantly, for stuff that I'm going to hate doing, but I'm happy to do it because it's going to be awesome, is going to be weapon reviews of all the new faction weapons. I'm actually going to finally get to do those because you can buy them from their faction vendors. Like, you want all of them. You want the sniper rifle from New Monarchy? You can go buy it. You want the hand cannon from New Monarchy? Go buy it. You want the sniper rifle from Dead Orbit? You can go buy it. It's not based on random drops anymore, which is what was keeping us from doing a lot of those reviews. Yeah, we could have people, you know, let us use their accounts, but now I can go in there, I can re-roll that weapon to get nasty rolls on it to say, here's what you should be rolling for.
I wonder if that one is going to require something else, like maybe commendations to do faction re-rolls. I don't know, I'm just speculating, because since he didn't jump right into it, you know, and he kind of bled away, went to the Crucible one instead. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm curious, because you never know, like, the exotics require an exotic shard to ascend, the legendaries require etheric light, you know, there's all these little differences in between all of them.
The whole time he was being a bit cagey about showing weapons and perks, like he didn't want to show off what all the new perks were, probably because he doesn't want to A, ruin it, and B, they might be changed between now and the release. Mm-hmm. But so my guess is that they had a specific set of weapons that they were willing to show on this live stream, and those are the ones he showed. Like he even went all the way over to check out the Dead Orbit guy and showed very, very little, even though he'd made the trek all the way over there.
Like, speaking of the perks that you can actually get, I'm looking at the article right now on Planet Destiny with all the perks on a sniper rifle. This weapon gains better target acquisition. On a hand cannon, unassisted kills with this weapon reduce your grenade and melee cooldown. And then readying this weapon grants a brief period of bonus accuracy. So I'm gonna get that for my jumping around playstyle, so I can jump up in the air and then ready it really quick and snipe people in the air. Be fun. For auto rifle, speed boost, and then there's another. The Red Hand actually has two really interesting perks on it. This weapon gains better target acquisition, and then rapidly landing precision hits will return one round of the magazine. So they're taking that one from Sword of Crota. Of course, you know, maybe they'll change it. Maybe that was just in the beta build or something.
Maybe it won't.
I personally like the Vindicator's special perk. It kills with this weapon grant a boost to sprint top speed. Yeah. I really like that. As far as a run and gun playstyle, you're going to really want to be able to utilize that. If you think about it, you're going to be getting that kill, right? And then quickly flanking, you know, it gives you a boost of speed and you can get behind their enemy lines. This is it's a run and gun playstyle's dream.
Yeah, it's going to be some really cool. I can't wait to see all the perks. So it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be more options to what makes a good gun too, as opposed to with the Iron Banner, everybody kind of accepts here is the good role for this gun. Spend as many motes of light as you can to find it. Hopefully what more perks will mean is that, well, you know, there'll be different options depending on your playstyle as to what a good role could be.
Mm-hmm. Like I know for me right now, my current playstyle, I am jumping around everywhere. So that readying your weapon, if I can quickly switch to weapon, have more accuracy while I'm in the air, because people have a really hard time guessing where I'm coming from when I'm usually, you know, right above them or something. So that would be really cool. I mean, that would be a thing that I always want to have on my weapons.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've had to adapt to coming from Halo. Being able to, you know, like Halo, you just jump and move your cursor, you have an immediate shot. It doesn't matter, you know. But with Destiny, there's a huge penalty for when you jump.
Like hand cannons.
They have the smallest. They know they have the smallest penalty, but there's still a penalty. It's not like if you have a DMR in Halo, or actually a sniper rifle in Halo, you can jump up and no-scope somebody in midair.
Didn't you just see my latest montage? I totally do that here in Destiny anyway.
Every day.
But can you do it consistently all day long?
I think I only got like 3 clips of me doing it, so no.
Join us next time for no-scope.
So like, it's safe to say we are all pretty hyped about all this stuff. I think we've started to kind of cover everything that we've seen thus far, and at least in the Twitch reveal. We
coming up after last week too. Oh, that's no small feat.
They're throwing it at us right now.
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
There was a lot of disappointment last week and a lot of excitement this week. I think they might have pulled this off.
I don't know, man. I think they've fulfilled they let us know that, you know, there wasn't going to be a raid, and then they said, but here's all the cool stuff you're going to get, and immediately started outlining everything that we're going to get. And I'm, you know, I don't know about you guys, I mean, I'm still, you know, there's still part of me that's disappointed with no raid, but I'm truly pumped about what we are getting, and I'm just can't wait for it to get here.
I know.
It's the Ram's Head brainwashing you.
Oh, I'm looking at that right now. Head. Oh, it looks amazing. The Ram's Head. You guys really, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you know, you really got to check out the Planet Destiny, that complete reef reveal recap, because it's got all these images and information, screenshots. It's just really great resource. You need to look at it. I'm sitting here drooling over all the cool stuff and just envisioning what it's going to be like to use.
Okay, I gotta say, I hate playing with shotguns. Oh, at least in PvP, and that's what I enjoy. But that shotgun looks awesome enough for me to try it. At least, my god, that thing looks cool.
That's what he says before the apocalypse happens, and then he's like, "Oh, it's my best friend." So let's get down to a really serious point here, guys. Is Petra's hair boysenberry or jam?
When I think of her hair, I think of I would go with boysenberry. That's where I'm going with that.
Mm-hmm. I think of Hot Topic. I don't know.
Hot Topic.
with her Google Glass eye thing that she got going on.
She's a hipster. All I'm saying is I'm someone bringing it into Photoshop right now, and it is
oh, you're gonna
8-8-2-1-7-4-0. That's what her hair is.
Excellent.
Oh, drop the mic. There's many different parts of her hair, I might add.
God, making me go into the dark ones. Fine. 250E1B.
Yeah, you got to get an average of all of them.
Send us a spreadsheet later.
We're going to need a complete analysis. Breakdown of that. If you can take it to Lowe's hardware store and get the actual paint chip marking for that.
Mm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Knock out a quick video before you get on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not even editing this podcast. No. I'm going directly to sleep after this podcast is done.
Now, how excited are you, Patrick, about going up to Bungie? Tell us about your trip. What can you tell us?
What I can tell you is that I'm going to Bungie. I got an email saying, what's my t-shirt size? So
I'm feeling that you're going to be getting the same shirt that that Gathalion was
probably
wearing today.
Maybe they'd plan on killing me just to make sure that like my body double will be able to wear my current clothes. I don't know.
Or you're going to be in a wet t-shirt contest.
Ooh. All right. Let's go.
Better option.
That'll be a fun face reveal.
Live stream. Yeah.
Did they ask you for your helmet size for a potential Rams head fitting?
No, they did not.
So you can come back and show us like Satan's
I know. God, that helm is just... I'm just hearing metal music. And come out.
All right.
It looks like something out of Doom.
I have a challenge. I have a challenge for you, Patrick. When you get there, do a selfie from yourself of yourself halfway up the rock wall they have.
But to answer your question, Pope, I am extremely excited to actually go. I've gotten my ride sorted out to the airport. Everything's all printed out. My clothes are in the laundry right now, and I'm just gonna pretty much go to sleep after the podcast. Wake up, get on a plane, and then arrive at Bungie at some point tomorrow.
Are you going to do Uber over to the studio?
No, Bungie's pretty cool. They're like, we're sending you a car service.
A limo. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Limo. That whole experience, and you know, I just, if anybody, it's probably one of my bucket list things for me to do in my lifetime was to visit that studio. Just a ton of fun. You have no idea. Like the 650 designers, programmers, artists, just in it, all working together in these pods. It's just really cool to see. And it's an amazing experience.
I do have a slight bombshell to drop here as we're nearing the end of the podcast. I am going there so they can show me some stuff. I'm going to be showing them some stuff as well. I've been working on a little side project here. Been working on a side project myself. It'll be on Planet Destiny. It's basically an anime of Destiny. I'm starting to work on the teaser trailer is nearing completion. So we're going to be putting that out probably in the next month or so, month and a half or so. Got to get the final, frames all keyed up and everything. But yeah, it's looking like it's going to be sick. And I can't wait to start showing it to some people there, get the hype building up, and yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
Very cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So like a couple of you have seen the one single screenshot frame, but sorry, listeners, you guys are just going to have to get hyped without anything for now. Don't worry.
You don't get anything.
give it a month. Once House of Wolves drops, we'll probably, hopefully we'll drop it before House of Wolves. Maybe. We'll see.
Otherwise, you have to put that ram head in there.
We're
confidential. That should be your confidentiality mark. Just put that on it.
I'm just staring at this picture of this ram's head. I'm starting to hear whispers coming into my ears. I just want to like print this screenshot out as a business card and hand that to people.
He whispers to you, Planet Destiny.
You will subscribe to Planet Destiny.
I feel like you'd find that in Bloodborne.
Oh, dude, that's like tame stuff for Bloodborne right there, yeah.
Planet Destiny.
But you'd get that relic to buy something,
All right, guys, we are pretty much at the end here. Like, just a quick recap of what we actually saw over today from this huge amount of information. We got the new social space, and, you're going to be able to do the normal stuff there. You got the Vanguard, the Vanguard bounties, Crucible bounties. You have a vault there, which is tied to your normal vault. And then there's also going to be all those new vendors there. We got the Trials of Osiris vendor there. There's going to be some really cool stuff coming from that. We know it's going to be a weekend activity. Prison of Elders. We got some... I'm just excited to see Prison of Elders. I can't wait for that reveal. The gear that you're going to be able to get from that... Like, just the rotating gear every week looks like it's going to be really interesting. Like, switching gears, we get to still, like, use the normal tower. We have the materials exchange that can only be done there at the speaker. Exchange your ascendant materials for whatever. You got... The coolest thing is the ability to reforge your weapons. And all that stuff right there, you're going to have the House of Wolves to actually get that. You'll be able to access the Reef social area, but... To like use anything in all these areas, you're gonna need the House of Wolves. So you guys should get on that. It looks like it's gonna be pretty awesome. All right, guys, we are nearing the end of the podcast. Instead of like doing our normal outros or whatever, before we get to that, There's a little speculation that I wanna do. I know we've actually been pretty light on speculation this episode. At least I think we have. The first speculation thing I wanted to get into, we glanced over it a little bit, but that screenshot with that giant weapon thing that we saw, the fallen bazooka. Like, what do you guys think that thing's gonna be? I personally, like, I hope we're gonna start seeing like a new public event type thing come about, like Devil Walkers start dropping down, and then like after we kill the Devil Walker, we get to rip off its cannon or something like that and start using that. Just use a massive awesome super weapon on anything that we can.
Real quick, I know this definitely is not gonna be it, but when I first saw it and I saw a rocket launcher on the back of the Guardian, I first was like, oh my god, what if there's an exotic that's a rocket launcher that's in your special category?
That too. Wow. That'd be awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
But then I was like, there's no way they're going to do that.
Beyond, now yeah. Rocket.
Primary rocket launcher. In your yeah. It's completely balanced, guys. It's completely balanced.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good luck balancing that one. I know that's not going to be it, but yeah.
In the past, before the Dark Below came out, we saw kind of the sword get reintroduced on Earth and the Moon. It could be something like that. It's part of the Prison of Elders, maybe a power weapon that is a relic type deal.
If anything, I think the prevailing opinion from the community is that it's going to be a relic type thing. Enough speculation on that. One thing that we do want to end off here on is, you guys may have missed it in the stream, but they talked about how on, I think it's May 8th, they're going to be revealing something that they haven't talked about yet, and it's going to be a raid-like activity.
For everybody shouting raid in chat, we had a brief discussion about the choice to have a new activity that we can't really talk about yet,
nope.
But is raid tier difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you guys could have technically called it a raid, but it wasn't really a raid. But
no,
it's still,
setting
it's still
expectations was pretty important.
So you guys will find out in a couple weeks about that. I wish I could talk about it now, yep. But
nope, that will be that responsibility will fall
home
to another. You'll be at home, hopefully watching the stream.
So this isn't going to be Prison of Elders. This isn't going to be a raid, I guess, but it's going to be something completely new. Mega raid. 16-person activity. It's going to be the ball. It's going to be the ball in a new room.
Everybody yeah. Everybody has to coordinate.
Like, what type of PvE activity? Like, personally, whatever it is, I hope it's a PvE activity, because the game kind of favors PvP for all these new things right now. What type of PvE activity do you think, do you think that they may actually be revealing here?
Well, with like the Prison of Elders thing I was saying before, is that they call it an arena, and they keep on going back to the idea of the fact that it's a weekly thing, and the fact that it might be different every time. But I still feel as though the possibility of it being a wave defense is very, very valid, as that fact keeps going along. In my head, I realize that they have done it with these things before, like on the firefight modes. What they could do is just set up maybe a different style of the arena, change boxes around to give you different like skulls. Instead of skulls, you have just modifiers like the epic thing. But they might be making it like really, really random, where you randomly like start switching weapons, or you can only use like a pistol or random things to change it up every single week to make it a different experience. Mm. I don't know how far they're going to vary it. But I would be really excited for the wave defense. I've always been into the horde mode, the wave defense in general. I'm a huge zombies fan of all the different types of things, and it just everything keeps going back to it as a wave defense. And if it was, or if it's kind of like it, I'm super excited either way.
Hopefully, this new activity is going to be interesting. Whatever it is, like, I'm interested just from what they've been so secretive about it for this close to the release date of House of Wolves is pretty odd. So maybe this must be a massive bomb for them to drop as far as the hype generators.
As much as we know about this already, like, we just watched a 45-minute live stream about this content, and we still feel like we know so little
and
about
like,
it.
And they're doing so well at this hype generation just on this one little thing, too. they've only mentioned it in passing. It's like, oh yeah, there's going to be this new thing, this raid-like activity. We're going to be revealing it here. And we're talking about it for like 10 plus minutes on the podcast. So what could it be? What could it possibly be?
I got it. Here's what it is. You know how when your engrams disappear, or you don't pick up your engrams, and they go to the post office? You have to assemble a raid-like team to help Sherpa all those engrams to the post office. You are welcome.
Okay. Are we going to find all the socks that mysteriously vanished from my dryer, too? All right, guys. Well, I think that's enough for today's podcast. This has been Patrick Casey with Plant and Destiny. I'm going to be going to Bungie, and I also have a Twitter that you guys can reach me at now, at Holtzman_PD, if you guys want to actually talk to me.
This has been Briar Rabbit. You can find me on Planet Destiny or the Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube.
This has been Tefty Teft. You can find me on Planet Destiny and also on my own channel, Tefty Teft Games. And you can talk to me at Teft on Twitter.
And this is Pope Bear, and I'm with Resolute Gaming. And you can find me on Twitter at PopeBear.
And this has been Diachronic. I have my own channel as well on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. Everything is at Diachronic. If you guys wanted to ever search me up, it's just DYCHRONIC, probably in the description down below. And I just do everything from Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Xbox. I'm also Diachronic. If you ever wanted to add me or play a game with me, you can also do that there.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you for watching. I can't wait to start reporting on some of the stuff I see at Bungie. I can't wait to do another podcast next week on the new reveals. I will see you guys next week. Thank you for watching.